From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Happy Friday to everyone. It's a football Friday. No matter what you think of our Bears, they're 4-1.
Take that.
With a great chance of going to 5-1. I believe both of us are picking the Bears.
Yes. I'm not sure that the rest of the universe, the football universe, shares our enthusiasm and confidence for our team. But I like the matchup, and I like this as kind of a statement game for Matt Nagy and his offense against a Panther defense that is a bit improved, but is also ripe to be scored on.
Yes, 312-332-3776 is the phone number. We have plenty of time to take your phone calls today. Your Bears' best bets, what would you bet on happening? If you could pick one thing in this game, a known thing in your mind that is going to happen, we'll take your phone calls. I'm going Allen Robinson breakout game this game.
Yeah.
And I already predicted it. My son did, at least in the pre-show video, of two touchdowns. A two-touchdown game for Allen Robinson. As we get over kind of the extend A-Rod hashtag stuff and we just go on and play some football, I think he's going to play some football. Maybe he'll find some great chemistry with Nick Foles this weekend.
I will go out on a limb and predict that the Bears will eclipse the very difficult to achieve 3.0 yards per carry running the football.
Oh, look
at you.
Yes. So yes. I'm saying that the Bears will, in fact, average more than 3 yards per carry.
Okay.
I mean,
can I one up you? I hate to one up you.
Go ahead.
I am going to then go out on a limb, and this may break right when I stand out on that limb, that David Montgomery will rush for 50 yards.
Whoa! Get that gold jacket ready.
50 yards, Waddle. David Montgomery, maybe 12 carries.
Like it.
4 point something.
They've learned their lesson, haven't they?
I'm serious about the A-Rob, though, thing. But we'll see. I can't wait.
By the way, David Montgomery has only eclipsed the 50-yard rushing mark twice in the first 5 games of the season.
Right. I know. I mean, has he rushed for 100 yards in a Bears uniform yet? Did he have one last year?
I think, didn't he have one against San Diego? Was he not? Did he not rush for over 100 yards against San Diego last year?
Definitely not San Diego. Definitely was not. Los Angeles, perhaps, but not San Diego.
Yeah, 135 yards against the Chargers. How about that? And then he ran for 113 in the season finale against the uninspired Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
As someone pointed out in the Twitch channel, I did hear Cap this morning. He guaranteed. I don't know what a cap guarantee means. I think the only cap guarantee is that he's going to say the opposite in the next show.
Okay.
But a cap guarantee to David Montgomery 100-yard performance.
Whoa, really?
Yes, he guaranteed it. Now, I don't know what that means. Like, what if he doesn't get that, if, like, Miller and Zetterman get something, or the listeners get something?
What is that based on? Is that based on this thought that all of a sudden Matt's going to really dial in and run the stay committed to running the football? Is it because the Carolina Panthers are giving up an average of 133.4 yards per game on the ground?
That's where I think he's going.
Okay.
Yes, he's thankful that Tampa and the Colts are in the rearview mirror with their run defense.
I know, two teams that definitely remind you of the 85 and 86 Bears,
right?
Of course, yeah.
And if not them, then that 0-1 Ravens team,
of
right?
Of course. Wow, you could not move the ball against those two previous opponents. Just ask, what's his name, Baker Mayfield and the Browns last week, right? Jeez.
312-332-3776. I also, and we're going to play you, if you missed late in the show at 5 o'clock, we had Lewis Riddick on the show. And if you missed it, he had really some good thoughts on Matt Nagy's playbook and his play calling.
I think what we kind of learned from Lewis is that not only does he have his eye on this situation, I think the rest of the league is starting to come around to this conversation that you and I have had for the last 10 to 14 days.
Yes. Well, I think it's been more than 10 to 14 days.
Yeah, I know, but...
You've been very big on this. We were very down on him at the end of the season. You wanted to see more. You wanted to see him grow. I wanted to see him give it up, but... You know, now, like, again, that you've called it the Denny's menu from the start. That's a Waddle special right there, right? Were you the one who coined it the Denny's menu?
I believe so.
The big Denny's colorful moon over Miami menu. And so much good stuff to pick from. I just can't pick one.
Well, how about this? I'm going to get a cheese omelet with some hash browns and a cup of coffee. Everything else you can stop producing.
Right.
Just a cheese omelet. With some hash browns, maybe a side of bacon if you want to get crazy.
Yeah, you got to get some protein.
And I want a coffee.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Right, and a coffee black, right?
Sure.
No cream, no sugar.
No, I take a little cream in it. No.
Simple. Keep it simple.
A little skim milk.
Right? Less cute, more nasty.
Well, listen.
Cream in your coffee, nasty.
Well, time out. I'm talking dumplings and crepes. That's the cute stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit of 2% milk in my coffee is not exactly cute. It's still kind of nasty. It's basic. Come on.
If we're going nasty, you got to have black coffee. Put some hair on your chest.
I don't want any hair on my chest.
Yeah,
I'm 53. The hairs that do sprout out on my chest, I shave off. Don't want that hair on my chest.
You're right.
Not a hair on chest.
Matt Nagy's asking for crepes.
Yes.
At Denny's. Like, what?
Right.
And the waitress looks at you and the crepes. Where the hell do you think you are, France?
He's trying to get a latte or a special cappuccino.
An almond milk.
Right. Almond milk at Denny's.
Like, listen, no offense to Denny's. Denny's is great. It's the basics.
Basic. Keep it basic.
Keep it basic.
So, 312-332-3776. I did listen to Matt Nagy's press conference. It was on just before we went on. And... First, you want to hear something funny?
Sounds like you came away a little bit more enthusiastic than before.
No.
Did he say something that you latched onto?
Well, this was funny. I want to play you some Anthony Miller stuff in a minute here because he raved. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't a rave. I thought he really talked up Anthony Miller. And you look at the Miller numbers and you're like, where's the dude that we thought was going to be a stud? Coming out of college.
This is kind of what they do, though. He ebbs. And then he flows, and then Matt talks him up, and he ebbs a bit, and then he flows.
Right.
Even that thing out.
Yeah. So, but first, this is you'll laugh at this, because Carolina and Matt Rhule are really confused right now. They don't know what they're going to get at guard.
Oh, God.
Is it going to be Bars, or is it going to be Coward? And, you know... Nagy doesn't want to give up any secrets. Listen to this.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that today as to who we're going to start, but I just know that in regards to both guys, we have a lot of confidence in both of them.
What's the strategic disadvantage you would face if you named a starter publicly today?
Potsy.
I don't know. I don't know, but that's just kind of where we're at. It's nothing personal, Mark, I promise you.
I love Mark
Potsy. Potsy's the best. He's just like, he's going to ask the questions we're all thinking. And I don't know if they're trying to be like super sly and catch you, you know, not looking. I mean, again, I'm telling you, every one of these football coaches, they believe they're protecting national secrets. It's just in their DNA. It's in their DNA. Nobody cares whether it's Bars or it's Coward. Trust me. In Carolina, there may be a little something here, a little something there. They're going to line up their defensive tackle over top of him, and that guy's going to try to bull rush him, push him back into Nick Foles' lap.
Right. And then here was the Anthony Miller stuff. This is from Matt Nagy just a few minutes ago about the progress or maybe lack thereof of Anthony Miller.
He's definitely a playmaker. And you guys see, I mentioned the other day the energy that he brings to this offense. I love his passion and the way he is on that sideline. No matter what the score is, he wants the football. He wants the football every play. Now, what we need to do is make sure that the volume doesn't get too high for him, because when the volume gets too high, he's in that position as a zebra position where you're moving around a lot, whether it's motions and shifts and details of what you're doing with your route. So we got to protect him that way so that he can play fast on the field. But when he's out there, I just think that his growth now, being in year three, his growth has been really, really good. And now we just want to, you know, you saw the way he can play, and we got other guys on this team as well. So I like where he's at, though, and I just think it's us balancing the amount of stuff that we give him.
Yeah,
so,
don't confuse energy and enthusiasm with accomplishment just yet.
Well, he called him a playmaker, and that's what we're waiting for. Like play. He's had 13 catches for 161 yards in five games.
He's had two end zone drops as well.
That doesn't scream playmaker to me. He's saying growth. Like this, that surprised me. And I know, you're trying to talk him up, but I think, again, we talked about this yesterday with some of Ryan Pace's draft picks, that when you have a second-round pick, the same round where Michael Thomas was drafted, the same round where Devontae Adams was drafted, that you hope that you're getting a stud there. And we still have yet, as much as we saw in that rookie season at training camp when we were out there in Bourbonnais, that we loved him, Weeder loved him, JD loved him, but yet, it still hasn't been consistent, and we still haven't seen it get turned on, and we're talking about year number three.
Listen,
Waddle.
This offense doesn't get to where we want it to be. And again, we've set it at a reasonable level. That's average. You don't get to average without Anthony Miller playing a large role, because he is basically your number two receiver. We could talk about snaps with Darnell Mooney. But Anthony Miller has to be your number two receiver. He's got to be a guy that threatens the defense and takes some pressure off of Allen Robinson. And then Mooney steps in with that incredible speed and maturity for a young player, and he makes some plays too. But Anthony Miller has to be a huge component of what they're doing on offense. If we continue to see this inconsistent performance, this offense will continue to chug along where they are right now. And that improvement towards our goal of average will not take place.
All right, 312-332-3776 is the phone number if you want to talk Bears with us on this Football Friday. Any football questions you may have for us. We do have a couple of minutes that we're going to spend a little bit later on Tony La Russa. Not a long part, because it is a Football Friday, but Dennis Eckersley said some interesting things, and I've just come to one conclusion now in the La Russa thing. So I want to get to that, and remember, not only can you listen to us on the good old-fashioned radio, but there are many different ways you can. Download that ESPN Chicago app. It's our local app. It is absolutely awesome, very easy to use. If you do get home, if you're in your car now and you want to watch us on the computer, and I did say watch, you can see Waddle in the First Midwest Bank studio as you watch on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. We'll take some Bears calls. If you missed the Lewis Riddick stuff from yesterday, he talks about Matt Nagy being too cute, even though Matt Nagy and him have been friends and they've worked together in the past. And keep in mind, after this Carolina game, the Bears' next game against the Rams will be on Monday Night Football. So they'll get the nation's eyes once again. We'll talk some Bears football with you, 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Cap called. He wants you to, quote, put your seeds on the line. And make a guarantee.
Put my seeds on the line?
Put your seed. He says he's putting his seeds on the line with a 100-yard rushing guarantee. Yeah. I told Tyler he should have put him on.
Yeah.
So, Cap, if you're still in your car, call back.
He wants me to put my seeds on the line and say they'll run for 100 yards? Why would I?
No, he's saying he wants you to make another sort of seeds on the line guarantee.
Question, what's on the line with his guarantee?
That's what I'm asking. If it doesn't happen, what do we all get?
Well, I mean, his football integrity has been missing for a while now based on his quarterback thoughts. So that's not going to be at stake, right?
Because I would love to see a debate between you two on Jimmy G right now.
We did. You know what the funny thing is that I called him about something a couple of days ago because I had to ask him something. And he said to me, I think he was at a diner. He was eating or something because he was very quiet. And then I could hear people in the background. Whatever. It was after his show. And he said, I heard you loving on Jimmy G. And I said, stop right there, you moron. And I was just being, you know, I mean, we were being goofy to each other. Like, right. I love Cap. You know I love Cap. But I can call him a moron. I said, this is not about me loving Jimmy G. This is about me hearing somebody just waiting like clockwork, like the train pulling into the station every time at the same hour. Soon as somebody struggles, that guy, I knew that guy was awful. And again, I've never put Jimmy G into an elite category, but he was a starting quarterback for a team that went 13-3 and found themselves in the Super Bowl last year. They were the second leading scoring offense in the league behind the Baltimore Ravens. He threw 27 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, almost 4,000 yards, and had a quarterback rating over 100. That doesn't happen like, okay? So my point is like, don't say, I know he's horrible. No. No.
Oh, there he is. Do I hear him?
Yeah, right here.
Did I describe our conversation accurately?
All I heard Sylvie say was, well, what does a cap guarantee mean? That he's going to flip the other way the next day?
Oh, I never said that.
You said that before the break. I totally did. And I said a cap guarantee. Well, you said, what's Cap putting on the line? And
right.
I said,
what are you putting on the line if David Montgomery doesn't rush for 100?
Wait a second. I want to be fully upfront here. I said, well, his quarterback knowledge has already been erased, so that can't be part of what's on the line here, because his quarterback knowledge was eviscerated a while ago.
So all I'm saying to you is he's going to run for 100 yards. I'm willing to put something on the table if the two gentlemen who are hosting the afternoon show and are so good at it are willing to put their plums on the table too.
But I want him to run for 100 yards. But if he doesn't run for 100 yards and they still win, I don't want to lose my plums.
Well, we were just saying, Cap, that when usually, like, when you hear someone guarantee something, like, look, your satisfaction guarantee, if it doesn't happen, your money back.
Right.
So we were just asking what the guarantee mean.
I said to the guys this morning, I said, I'll guarantee it. What do you guys want? And they really didn't take me up on it.
I want $1,000.
You name it.
I want $1,000.
Yeah, hard pass.
What? You asked what I wanted.
I got to save my $1,000 to clean up the mess you leave in the freaking studio every day with your popcorn and your chips and whatever it
is. I did. You know what? That's fair, and I apologize. I did leave a mess here yesterday. It's still here.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, that's not every day, though. It's not every day. It was just yesterday. My daughter packed me some popcorn in the lunch that she packs me every day, and it went astray.
Better than that.
No, I'm not.
You're better than
that. No, I'm not. You should know that by now. 30 years of knowing me, to say that I'm better than that, that's a false statement. I'm not better than that. That's exactly who I am. I'm going to put my crap all over the floor, probably step on it, and not leave it there intentionally, but just because I'm mindless sometimes, I'm going to make a mess, and I apologize.
How about this? I am literally doing this interview walking through the produce section at Whole Foods.
Oh, that's where you get all your info.
Correct. This is where the guy I'm looking right over there where he told me what a jackass Jay Cutler was.
I don't think you needed to go to the produce section at the supermarket to hear somebody say that. I mean,
probably right.
With all due respect, we love Jay, but I think that wasn't just his
thought. He can rub people the wrong way at times.
How about if he doesn't run for 100 yards, I will make both of your lunches and leave them at your front door for that day before I go to work, which means I'll have to get up even earlier.
I'm great with that. Yeah. That's a guarantee.
That's a good guarantee.
Yeah, but that's a no-lose situation for me. Like, I don't lose my plums.
If he does run for 100, you two have to get me my lunch.
I'll buy you lunch just because I like you.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm not rooting. See, that's the point.
That's not how guarantees work. Guarantees aren't a bet.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a guarantee. Like, this is going to happen before I do this.
Yeah, you just step out on the limb and you say, this is going to happen. And if not, I'm going to do this. Not like, okay.
You know what? I'm not the smartest guy in the room.
Me either.
I was born at night. I wasn't born last night. But here's the deal. If he does not run for 100 yards or more, I will pack your lunches and I will leave them at your front door before I go to work.
What's going to be in that lunch?
What do you want?
He's great. Cap has been really good at leaving food at my door. I got to give him credit for that.
I usually poop in a bag and light it on fire and put it on Sylvie's door. So you're a better guy than I, Cap.
I will surprise you, but it will be food that you guys will like.
Listen, I hope. Like, there's nothing that would thrill me more than to see David Montgomery have his first 100-yard game of the season and his third of his career. Do you have them winning the game?
Short out. I have them winning the game, yes.
What's the score?
27-17.
Ooh, that's a good score. Like, so what you're saying is that this Bears offense then is going to get on track finally.
Yes, I think Matt is going to be really smart. He's going to run the ball effectively. They're going to use play action. Nick's going to hit a couple plays down the field. Montgomery will score once.
I like
Allen Robinson will score at least once.
Yeah, I've got him scoring twice.
Kaywon Short is out also for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, that's what I just break. Said. He's done for the year. He's having shoulder surgery for the second straight year.
Yeah, listen, this is just the Bears, things have fallen correctly for them. We say this every year, and I'm not projecting that they're going to have a championship season. But championship seasons are littered with good fortune, and you can't argue against the fact that this Bears team has had good fortune go their way with regard to their opponents.
Hey, I did a show. I host, how weird is this, because I used to be his biggest critic, and I love the guy. I host the Dave Wannstedt show with Wani. And he said yesterday to me, they were in Dallas. He said, we started slow. We won a couple games like the Bears did that we shouldn't have won. And all of a sudden, now we got to go to Denver, and John Elway's ruled out of the game.
Yeah.
He said, we won. Guess what? It got us rolling.
That's right.
You play him. You line them up, you play them how it works out. Sometimes
it's just,
you get lucky.
The thing is that is true. At some point, though, it's got to click for you, and you've got to be good. You just you take care of or you take advantage of these you know, fortunate moments. But at the end of the day, you also at some point got to get yourself to the point where you're competent, especially on offense. And that's where they are. They've had good fortune. They've had a breather in a lot of ways. They've had an opportunity to try to find themselves an offense. They've built a little bit of a cushion here. Now you've got to figure out who you are on offense. Dang it.
So I will have lunch at your front door next week if he doesn't run for 100 or more.
There you go. All right, Cap.
You're a mensch.
Get some fruit.
All right, have a great day.
Wash that fruit when you get it home. Put a little dollop of soap on it to make sure all that stuff is off it.
Actually, because of you, Tom, we buy something on Amazon. It's a fruit wash stuff.
Yeah, good job, buddy. You don't want all those
the avocados, the whole deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't do the avocados. It's just anything that you're going to eat the peel of is where we...
People say you should do the avocados
really?
These days. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, germs, you know why? Because when you take the knife transfers from the outside to the inside, so you should wash the avocado, too.
Put the lotion in the basket.
All right, Cap, thanks.
Put the lotion in the basket. Love you.
See you, buddy.
Yeah. There's Cap. So, look, selfishly, we did that segment just to get us lunch.
Get lunch. David,
it's win-win. David Montgomery either rushes for 100 or we get lunch.
I'm a David Montgomery fan. I'm a free lunch fan. If I was betting my own money, the bet would be that that's not going to happen. So I do hope it happens. I get a free lunch.
Yes, yes.
That's great. We just coerced him.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Selfishly, that's all that was. It was for us. That was a for us segment.
That's what I like to call hedging your life right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tim in Batavia, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. I love the show. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks,
Tim.
Sure.
Hey, go Bears. But, Sylvie, I usually agree with a lot of what you have to say.
That makes one of us.
You referenced Michael Thomas and Davante Adams. If you put Anthony Miller on either of those teams, he'd be an absolute stud.
I'm with you, Sylvie. Those two guys are better.
Well, I just don't know. I mean, I'm not making a proclamation. I'm just saying that those second-round picks develop. Now, if Michael Thomas didn't go to New Orleans, if Davante Adams didn't go to the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, would they be studs like they're viewed today? If Davante Adams would have been drafted by the Bears, would he be a stud? Or do they is
you like, sound like those that are in Mitch's camp right now. If you brought Patrick Mahomes here, he'd never be the same player here as he is there.
Well, no, it's different than quarterback a lot of times, though, too. I mean, I'm just asking... Is Anthony, like Anthony Miller was drafted around the same time as those guys?
Yes.
Why? I mean, I know guys fail all the time and guys succeed, but what's the bigger reason? You think that Michael Thomas would have been great on 31 other teams?
I do, yes. I think Michael Thomas. Now, Would he be a 115 catch a year guy in other teams? No, but he'd be a significant difference maker for sure. Now listen, right now Anthony Miller has 12 catches for 161 yards and two touchdowns. Those numbers would be significantly enhanced had he just handled the opportunities he was given. He's dropped right. two touchdown passes. That would double his touchdown output. He should be sitting at four touchdown catches in five games.
Yeah, when Lewis Riddick, and we're going to play that next, when Lewis Riddick says the Bears need more firepower, the firepower is supposed to be Anthony Miller.
Amen.
Anthony Miller is supposed to be a 1,000-yard receiver. He's supposed to be.
That's
why you draft him there for a reason.
You traded up to get him at 51, right? Didn't we move up to get him?
You draft a receiver in the second round to be a stud.
Yes.
312-332-3776. Take more of your Bears phone calls. And we asked Lewis Riddick if he thinks Matt Nagy's too cute. And the answer may surprise you.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hope you're having a great Friday. You've made it to the weekend. A little cool outside, but the sun's out right now.
A little cool for golf.
It is a little cool for golf. Tomorrow's supposed to warm up a little bit, but windy. I see very windy again. So I don't know how much that's going to be for golf, how well work.
I think most guys that are golfers, they play in any conditions, but they won't be ideal conditions.
No, not like we had last weekend. Tom in Kenosha wants to talk. Then we'll play you the chunk from Lewis Riddick on Matt Nagy. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, first of all, Sylvie, congratulations on beating this nasty disease. I'm really happy for you and your family.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
For sure. I am really happy to hear it. So I got two things. One thing is, I think Cordell Patterson is really close to breaking a touchdown on a kickoff return because he just seems to be getting really close to doing that. And he's returning just about everything that's not kicked over his head, you know, out of the end zone. So I think he's going to do that this Sunday. And then I also heard about a rumor on a Bears trade that I just wanted to feel your guys' opinion on it. And then, I'll ask you and hang up and hear what you got to say. So it's Devontae Parker for Anthony Miller and maybe a low round draft pick. What do you guys think?
Where'd you hear that? Who told you that?
I actually heard that it was on a Google story that I read that from an NFL report. I'm not sure exactly which one it was, but it was on a Google report from an NFL source that was saying that there were some trades that the Bears should think about making, and that was one of them.
Well, Devontae Parker currently is the Dolphins' leading receiver. They got him on a steal of a deal, if you ask me. I think Devontae Parker signed a very team-friendly contract extension. Former first-round pick.
It took him a while to get going. Last year, he really clicked.
Yeah, he had a 1,200-yard season. And nine touchdowns. I'd stick with Anthony Miller.
You would?
Yeah. Why would I make the trade? I think Anthony Miller is significant. What is Anthony Miller's age? I mean, Parker is 27. He's in his sixth season, but he's still pretty young. I mean, 27.
He's got one
breakout season.
Very rarely are player-for-player trades made in the NFL, right? It's more usually for a pick.
Yeah, like I don't look at Devontae Parker, and I may have him completely misjudged here. I need somebody that's more explosive, and I think Anthony has that capability. Like, I need to see him. I want to see Anthony Miller develop. Like, I don't know that the Dolphins make that trade. We can have these conversations about what trade would you like.
Right.
Like, I mean, again, last year for the Dolphins, it was the first time he played 16 games. He had a very good season. 72 catches, 1,200 yards, nine touchdowns. Prior to that, he was a guy.
Right. It took him a long time. He was an underachieving guy. I want to play you. Here's Lewis Riddick. And this is a portion of what we talked about yesterday. We played it in the 5 o'clock hour. In case you missed it, it's really good stuff. Remember, Lewis Riddick, Monday Night Football analyst. He used to work in the front office with Philadelphia, and that's when he was with Matt Nagy. So he knows Matt well. And he talked about, I asked him the question, is Matt just at times calling plays too cute?
Sure. And I would tell him that, just like I would tell Doug Peterson that, who's a good friend of mine, or any other play caller. Sometimes play callers want to use everything that's on their sheet because it's big, it's colorful, and they put a lot of time into it, so they want to call everything on it. Instead of, and they'll admit this too, instead of staying just true to what your team can do best, instead of what you think is your best call based on how much time you put in the film room and all the work that you've done. And you want to see that pay off for yourself. Just stay true to who your team is. And yeah, that happens to all of them. And I'm sure them. And there's times where you can see that you go, is that really the best play call for this situation? Is that really about what their players can do best? Or is that about how smart he thinks he is? And I'm not saying just Matt, I'm saying any coach. So yeah, that happens. The best ones over time know when they can't do that and still just make it about the players. Just call the best play for this situation based off of what my guys showed me all week long that they can do best or what they're telling me in this moment. Hey, coach, call this. We know we can hit on this. We don't know if we can hit on all this other cute stuff that maybe you got, but we know we can do this. It's a give and take. And it's something that, I'm glad you brought that up because it's something that's going to, I think, going to ultimately determine whether or not this good start that they've had is something they can sustain. They have to stay true to who they are because they don't have all the bells and whistles that some of the other teams have offensively that can allow you to be cute as a play caller. They've got to almost be vanilla and be basic and say, hey, look, these are the routes that Nick throws the best. These are the routes that Allen likes the best. This is how we can pop Anthony Miller down the seam now and then. This is how we can get Darnell Mooney, you know, involved. This is how we can have maybe get David to pop a run here and there on a draw or an outside zone or a screen or something like that. I would think that as time goes on this season, that big giant play call sheet probably I would be looking to condense the thing and have it be much simpler because I think that's what you need right now.
It's interesting, Lewis, because we've had this play calling conversation a lot, and it started at the end of last year when the Bears ranked 29th or worst in most meaningful offensive statistics. And I was adamant against Matt giving up play calling duty because, like, Matt has come here and set a great culture, but he was brought here to revolutionize this offense. So I wanted him to, in 2020, to reestablish himself or to prove that he has the capabilities of being an excellent play caller. Do we get to the point where, I think, and Sylvie has mentioned this quite a bit, where maybe you take that big Denny's menu filled with all those delicious plays away from him and ask Flip or Laser to call plays because it just isn't working?
I'm not eager to tread too deeply into it only because I know how nuanced that kind of decision can be.
Sure.
And unless you're there and you understand exactly how it's happening, it's dangerous to kind of speculate. All right. But I will say this. I think Matt has to be as objective as he possibly can about trying to figure out what the problem is. And if that means, is it me? Am I not finding a nice rhythm here when I'm calling plays? Do I need to take a step back? Do I need to actually oversee the game, oversee all three phases, make the critical decisions, let somebody else deal with the play calling on a play-to-play basis, either for the rest of the season or for a couple games, and let me kind of like take a 30,000-foot view of it? He needs to maybe think about that. Maybe he does. I don't know. I mean, that's something that I haven't talked to him about. Who knows? Maybe, you know, one time when we just kind of BS about football, I'll ask him that.
Yeah.
But I do know this. I do know this from watching it, and I don't need to be there to see it. They don't have enough firepower. That's a fact. They need more firepower. David Montgomery needs another. They need another guy at running back. They need another legit speed component, big-time playmaker, along with Allen.
So there you go. And is that running back Lamar Miller, who is on the practice squad? Is that other wide receiver Anthony Miller?
The one who's
supposed to be, you know, or are they going to be in the market again where there's another failed skill guy, whether it was Kevin White or Anthony Miller, and you're going to have to right another wrong? You had to go out and you had to replace Leonard Floyd, and you had to go out and spend money on him, on Robert Quinn. You know, Kevin White failed. You had to go out and spend money on Allen Robinson. Are they going to have to do that again with Miller, or will he finally step up and give Nick Foles another really good option?
Don't you want to see what Anthony Miller can do in this offense?
Of
the
course.
Same way I want to see what this offense can do with Nick Foles, a quarterback the coach trusts. He's got a full complement of plays now that he feels he can call. Let's see what Anthony Miller can do in this offense that Matt Nagy has dreamt of running here in Chicago. He's got to be more consistent. But I'm not ready to pass on Anthony just yet.
No. I thought it was funny today how Matt Nagy called him a playmaker. And
he is.
Wait a minute now. I mean, I reserve that for studs, playmaker.
I think you can be a playmaker and be inconsistent.
What does he have?
Javon Wims is an
eight.
So far this year, he's got 100.
What's he got? I just had it up here.
I did too. He's got 161 yards and two touchdowns.
Five games. Playmaker.
Listen,
he's got to show me more.
That's why I'm saying I want to see it.
Yes.
I want to see it. Like he's had a great opportunity to sit right here with four touchdown catches. Four through the first five games. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good start to the season. He didn't make those plays. He's got to make those plays. I'm telling you, when you put on the film, he's the one guy that seems to have the less stickiness to him of all of the guys.
And what do you mean? And explain that when we come back, all right? What less stickiness means.
Plus, I also have a cap thing for you, too. If this
really?
Doesn't happen, I'll do something for you.
Yeah. Oh, great.
I thought of something that I will.
Oh, good, good. Very good. All right, all that coming up next. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped.com. Don't be a hairy beast. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we were talking about Anthony Miller. Stickiness. When you say he's not sticky, what does that mean?
Well, when you're sticky, it means that the defender is latched onto you at all times and you struggle to get away from him. It's like fly paper. Like when that fly hits that sticky paper, that fly can't get away from him. That's being sticky. Like in the red zone, Jimmy Graham's a tremendous option. Between the 20s, he's really sticky, in my opinion. He can't get away from guys now. I don't know if it's because he's 33 years of age. He slowed down some. Like Anthony Miller, I believe, has the ability. Now, he's got to run his routes at the right depth. From what we hear, that's not always the case. But if you watch film consistently of him, he has the capacity to run his routes more explosively and create greater separation than any of the other guys I've seen. Mooney does it really well, too. And he's just learning how to play the game and the speed that is improving. But I think that there is still, listen, you said it before. Like, you go back and you look in training camp. Weren't you impressed with what you saw from Anthony Miller a lot of times?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, he stood out, the numbers that he put up in college.
Like if Anthony Miller, again, this is going to.
Antonio Brown, is that what you're going to say?
No. My point is like, if he just makes those two catches that are perfect throws, one geez, from Mitch, and I'm just telling you.
Anthony, he'd be leading the way.
My point is he found himself in a position to make those plays. You
right.
got to come through
well,
with
wait,
them. Like,
here,
I can sit here, me, we can sit here and have the argument about Allen Robinson.
Well, we're right. But Allen Robinson makes more plays to make up for
those. Because he's thrown the ball more often, too.
Well, right. But, I mean, like, Allen Robinson has dropped the 50-50 ball, or he hasn't made the 50-50 ball yet. But yet, a few plays later, like he breaks a tackle and goes runs to the end zone.
No doubt, but Allen Robinson has 35 catches on 57 targets this year. Anthony Miller has 13 catches on 23 targets.
Trust.
Well, also, it's snap count. It's all that stuff. I mean, it's also that Allen Robinson's a better receiver.
Right.
My point is that Allen Robinson has 11 touchdowns in the last two years. He's got two this year. He's got 13.
I trust everything you say about a wide receiver. You play the position. You watch it. You can tell. You can tell when somebody just has that it factor when they don't have it. And so I'm still going to be open to Anthony Miller developing into the playmaker. The only thing I will flip it on you and say is it's scary because there are a couple of things with Anthony Miller that remind me of Mitch, okay? And I'm not telling you he's as bad as Mitch.
No, I get what you're saying.
Well, what were the two things we said about Mitch? He can't read defenses and he's not accurate. Anthony Miller doesn't know how to run a route. And he sometimes drops the football.
Yeah.
That's the same. Dropping the football and not being accurate for a quarterback, same thing. It's a physical skill.
I think the
not running a route and not knowing how to read a defense is mental.
I think that a lot of the conversation about Anthony Miller, it's instead of being at 10 yards, he's at 8 yards. Like, I'll trust that a lot of those situations where he and Mitch weren't on the same page, I'm going to give more than 50% of the blame to the quarterback and not the receiver. Call me biased if you want.
Yeah. All right.
I'm not telling you that he's Michael Thomas. What I'm telling you is I see stuff from him that I'm not willing to give up on him. I think he can be a playmaker in this league. He needs to find a quarterback that believes in him and trusts in him. He develops some rhythm with. And you'll know more about him by the end of this year. I think he's a kid that can run some explosive routes. He creates separation. Now, you gotta finish the plays, and it's something that he hasn't done. He did a lot of that in his first year. He had 7 touchdown catches. We saw him make some plays last year. Mitch was, how many times did he overthrow an empty or an open Anthony Miller? Like, I mean, Anthony
or
has
just miss him too.
Right.
I mean, they even throw him.
Listen, I'm not telling you. Allen Robinson's a better receiver. Anthony Miller has underachieved this year, but Anthony Miller has the capacity to be a playmaker. He's got to put it all together. And if he doesn't by the end of this year, you're going to, guess what? Mooney's going to get all of his reps.
Is this the out on a limb thing? You said you had a cap thing and out on a limb thing.
What I was going to tell you is this week, I will tell you, unless the following happens, I will force my daughter into the kitchen and have her make those really, really delicious homemade cookies that she's so good at. And I will bring them in, or I'll have some of them dropped off to your house. If Cole Kmet does not have 3 catches for at least 40 yards,
whoa,
you're going to get some free homemade cookies, delicious cookies made by my daughter Emerson.
Career day. 3 catches, 40 yards.
That would be a career day.
It would. Yes, but I'm not joking.
That should be ho-hum. It's another Sunday for a second-round pick.
Right. All right, we're back in 2 minutes. And then, Lewis, I'm going to start with your call. Then we're going to play Doug Kazarian. We'll talk to him about the plays of the weekend. A lot to get to. We're back in 2 minutes.